Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the BC Members Conference Call on Thursday, November 20th, 2014, at 1600 UTC. On the call today, in attendance, we have Jimson Olafue, Zahid Zanil, Michelle King, Jim Baskin, Andy Abrams, Elisa Cooper, J. Scott Evans, Ron Andrus, Claudia Selly. And I do have apologies today from the following people: Martin Sutton, Michael Moaz, Janet O'Callaghan, Steve Heimbecker, Jorge Aguila, Bob Hembeck, and Andrew Graves has also joined us. We have from staff myself, Brenda Brewer, and please remember to state your first and last name before speaking for transcription purposes, and I'll turn it over to you, Elisa. Thank you.
Thanks, Brenda, and thanks to everyone, as always, for joining today's call. We have, as usual, a pretty full agenda. I want to tell you about a couple of items, and then we'll move to Marilyn if she's on the line for an update on the CSG. And then we'll spend a bulk of our time discussing some of the policy issues. Hopefully, Susan will be able to join us and Gabby to talk about where we're at with the council and what they're working on. Jimson did send out in advance of this call an update so he can go through that or answer any questions. And then we do have a fair amount of time for any other business. I know that Ron Andrus wanted to spend some time talking about this ALAC comments on regulated TLDs, and so we can spend some time. Perhaps we can actually cover that during our policy discussion. But to start, I want to let me stop here and ask, are there any other items that we should add to our agenda today or things that people would like to discuss in today's call?
This is Jay Scott, Elisa. Are we going to be discussing elections?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
That was one of the two items that I'd like to talk to you about today.
Okay.
So the first item that I want to say about is the monthly call that Fadi holds. He held that call yesterday. And, you know, typically on those calls, Fadi spends a lot of time telling us what he's working on and what his big focus is for the upcoming month. But this time on the SOAC leader call, we spent the bulk of the time reporting out on the different sort of subcommittees that had been formed. And as you might recall, there are three sort of subcommittees that have been formed by the SOAC, SG, and C leaders. One of them is around the prioritization of work streams so that we can really focus on just try to pare back what we're focusing on in terms of work, because there's just so much going on. So that's one of the initiatives and one of the groups they're working on, which I'm actually part of. That's sort of the community prioritization group. There's another group that's focused on volunteer engagement and addressing the whole issue of burnout. And then there's another group focused on improving the way we disseminate and provide information, and that's the sort of information management group. So let me just tell you quickly sort of where those three groups are at and what they're working on and what their next steps are. The community prioritization group, which is a group that I'm working on, essentially is recommending that we first take an inventory of all current work streams that are going on, because I think that's something that none of us has a handle on. There's so much going on at ICANN. Before we can even think about prioritizing anything, we need to understand exactly what all is happening. So that's our recommendation, and that's sort of a first step, and that's something that staff is going to assist with. We're then recommending that the next step will be to develop a prioritization matrix that will allow all of the different SOAC, SG, and C groups to give their guidance on which items should be prioritized higher and which should be lower. So that's what's going on in this community prioritization work group. Any questions about what that group is working on? Then the next group is the volunteer engagement group, and essentially they're recommending the development of sort of a problem solution matrix. So they're sort of laying out what all the problems are and what the solutions might be, and they're looking at it in terms of what are problems occurring within the current ICANN community in terms of volunteer engagement, like the problems with volunteer burnout and getting people that are not that engaged in the, you know, but are part of the community, getting them more engaged. And then they're also looking at it from the perspective of outside of the ICANN community. So how do we get folks that are not engaged in beginning to be part of the community? So that's their focus, and that's what they're working on. And then the final group is this information management group, and they are focused on really ways to improve content management, and they're looking at some new options for content management. They're looking at some different ways of organizing information, whether that be on the ICANN website or on the wiki. They're looking at some better standards for archiving. I know one problem that was discussed at length was, like, sometimes you find something on the ICANN website and you can't tell if it's still current or is something that is out of date. And they'll be also seeking additional comments for ways to improve the way information is disseminated. What came about by the end of the call was that these three topics, they're looking at potentially addressing these three topics in the high interest section that always occurs at the ICANN meeting, usually on the Monday. And the majority of the folks on the call felt that that was a good idea, that we should bring these ideas to the community and have further discussion, unless, of course, there's something else that rises in importance and, you know, we need to focus on that. So that's kind of what the bulk of the call was focused on. Boddy spent just maybe 10 minutes, if that, talking about his stakeholder call, which was held earlier today. I was not able to attend, but I think some folks were actually on that call. And so that's what he focused on, what the agenda of that was and how that was going to run. Was there anyone on that call that might be able to share any feedback or perspective on how that call went? Okay, hearing that no one was. So I do know that there'll be a transcript made available of Boddy's stakeholder call, and when I receive that, I'll make sure that it's distributed to members. The other item, any questions about anything that I just talked about this SOAC-SGC leader call that Boddy holds and what we discussed on that call?
Yes, Elise, it's Marilyn. Can I ask a question?
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Thanks. Did Fadi discuss at all the Net Mundial initiative and the range of comments that have been coming in relation to that? I know in the past that has been a topic of significant concern to many of the leaders, and there's even a pretty strong post coming out of the CCNSO as well as the ISOC press statement, and I wondered if there was any discussion, updated information from Fadi about that.
That was not a topic of conversation in the call. There may be some mention of it, but again, I can send you the transcript, and perhaps there might have been something,
sure,
but I don't recall.
Sure.
I can say, this is Jay Scott, I can say that in the call that was held this morning, where he did the report out on the progress of ICANN over the last quarter, it was their first call. I can't remember if he did it on his own initiative or if he was answering a question. I apologize, Marilyn, but you can check the transcript. But he did address it there. He was asked about Net Mundial and ISOC's response specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that they were studying that response and looking at that response to understand it better, and that they, ICANN, was still committed to the Net Mundial initiative.
Thanks, Chase Scott.
The second item that I wanted to just bring to everyone's attention is that we are coming upon the next set of elections for the BC officers. So we will be voting to elect a chair, a vice chair of finance and operations, our vice chair of policy coordination, and our CSG liaison. And so that election will be coming up soon, and I will be sending out the timing for that. There's been quite a bit of discussion within the executive committee and concern by some on the executive committee. And it has to do with the fact that because this next ICANN meeting is occurring much earlier in the year, that the officers, in order to allow for the new officers to attend three meetings, as has been the status quo, that the current term would be shortened by about 2 weeks for the current set of officers. We took a vote of the XCOM, and it was a split decision, but I felt as the chair that it was important for the new set of officers to also have the opportunity to attend three meetings, just as always been the case. So the takeaway is be on the lookout for the election procedures and the timing. The plan is to do the election, the actual voting, in January, but what that means is the actual nomination period will occur in late December. Any questions about the election?
This is Jay Scott again. And is that what Jensen's recent email relates to in looking over our details with regards to representative and those things?
Yes.
That you all will have? So we need to look at that and get that back to you soon so that you can assimilate a list of who will receive ballots. Is that correct?
Yes. So if the information on what Jensen said is not correct, then please let Jensen know. I looked through it, and I think everything looked correct to me based on what I know, but please do look at that information to confirm that the ballot is going to the correct person and the correct email address, because only members who are paid up through this year will be eligible to vote. Ron, I see you have your hand raised.
Thank you, Lisa. I just wanted to bring to the members' attention that Jay Scott, Sarah, myself, yourself, Elisa, Jim Baskin, David Ferris, I'm missing some people, Andy Abrams, are all working currently on, as a subcommittee, working on the BC Charter. And that work is progressing very well. So I think from the timing of having the elections in the new year, we hopefully will have a charter that the full body of the BC can look at and approve and obviously modify where they feel necessary. But I think the two are kind of running in parallel tracks. But I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention, that this new slate of executive leadership in the BC will also be able to work with a charter that is up to date and will reflect all of the things that we've been working so hard to bring forward in terms of differentiating the BC from other constituencies, amongst other things, in terms of the membership criteria. So I just wanted to make members aware of that. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ron. I think I would like to mention, though, I don't anticipate that the charter would be in place prior to the election, given that it needs to be posted for public comment.
No, I agree. I just wanted to let everyone know that they're kind of running in parallel paths. I just wanted to just to bring an update there. That's all. I do agree. We have to. It has to go out for a whole raft of different responses from the community and others. But I, you know, just want to let people know that that work is progressing. Thanks.
Yes, and I'd like to just personally thank everyone who's participating in that group. I think it's really moving along, and I can also say that ICAM staff has been extremely helpful in helping to coordinate and take some of the heavy lifting on. Jim, I see your hands raised.
Yes, thanks. Just a quick question about the dues issue and eligibility to vote. I know that Verizon in the past has had some difficulties making payments, and does anyone have an update on how many or which members might be in arrears and be subject to the voting restrictions?
Well, this is Jameson. As at this moment, all members listed on the list are fully paid.
Okay, thank you very much.
This is Laura. I have to agree with what Jim's saying. It's a little bit challenging. We jumped through a variety of hoops and had credit cards dinged and, you know, rejected and everything else because, you know, with some of the challenges, it seems like it's a little complicated to pay. I'm not quite sure if there's anything that can be done about that. It's certainly not a topic for this call, but just to flag that we had some challenges, some of which were my own, but some of which were because it's in Spain and, you know, just there were a lot of hoops to jump through, it seemed like.
I think that, this is J. Scott Evans for the record, I think prior to the next billing cycle, this needs to be closely looked at because, you know, it affects us in operationally because we don't have the funds. It affects us when we take votes because, so I'm not saying we have to change everything, but I definitely think that now that two corporate members have raised this, it's very important that we look into it before we go through a next invoicing cycle.
It's Marilyn. I'd like to make a comment on this. There's been a lot of work done on this by Chris in the past, myself, mm-hmm. and Jimson. And maybe it'd be helpful if we just actually scheduled a time when you guys could hear the detailed work that Jimson has done on this to try to fix the problem. In previous reports, there's been a written report, and I think that's actually in his financial report, because there have been a lot of efforts made to try to address those exceptional situations, which are important. They've affected, I think, maybe three or four members that I can think of, J. Scott and Laura, and not just Verizon. They typically take a lot of time to resolve from whoever the vice chair is as well. So maybe after the financial chair's report, if there's interest in a more detailed discussion, that could be set up separately.
I see, Steve, you have your hand raised.
Thanks, Elisa. Two comments on the election. The first is the notion of timing, and the current crop of officers have already served for all three of the ICANN meetings that occurred in 2014. And there isn't a sense of urgency that I share with Elisa about getting the next crop of officers elected before the 2015 series of three meetings begins. So I think that that element of timing, to me, is far more important than merely counting the days that the current officers have been there. It's about attending the three meetings a year that each officer cohort is supposed to attend. And the second, with respect to elections, is I really want to encourage BC members to consider standing as a candidate for some of these officer posts. And to that end, please reach out personally to any of us that are officers now, and we can explain how we do our jobs, the amount of time it takes, the tools and tricks that we use to make that time a little bit more manageable, and help you to explore whether standing for an officer is something that's right for you, because we'll want to make those decisions pretty quickly, and I don't want to feel as if people have to do it on the list. I'm happy to do private conversations if people want to learn more about what the job entails. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'd really like to emphasize, especially Steve's, I agree with both of Steve's points, and I especially want to emphasize the second one. I would please encourage you to consider running for one of the positions. Some of us have been on, serving for quite a while. It'd be great to have new folks engaged. And again, if you have any questions about any of the positions, please feel free to contact us. Any other questions or comments before we move on to Marilyn?
Yeah, please, Jimson. Please, Jimson. Also on the election, I just wanted to say that I felt that the officers should, run through their 1 full-year term. That was my conception of the meaning of the charter. With regard to officers' terms. But I felt maybe Elisa should have maybe discussed this at the ESCOM much earlier, concerning three meeting periods. So for ICANN meetings, there is only three meetings that is required or basic for officers to attend. So that was why I was quite not so in line with the fact that we need to have election much earlier. Before the full term of officers is spent. I want to perhaps suggest for the charter review that maybe in the charter review we can also tie it to the three meetings, ICANN meetings in a year. So that could also make it much clearer and to avoid maybe slipping of terms maybe with new officers. Thank you,
Jimson. All right, Marilyn.
Thanks, Elisa. We're moving on, I take it, to the CSG discussion. Is that right?
Excuse me?
It's okay if I move on to the CSG discussion?
Yes, that's next on the agenda.
Great, thanks. I just didn't know if you were asking me for a comment on this or... So let me move into CSG discussion. The CSG has been quite active on a number of areas, and I just want to mention, because we are discussing this on the list, a lot of the activity is visible to the members, but I want to flag a couple of key things that are coming up. There will be a CSG full membership 30-minute call coming up on the 25th. You all have the announcement on that from Brenda, and the agenda is to discuss the formation of the CSG working group on the cross-community working group on accountability, update on the IANA stewardship following the face-to-face Frankfurt meeting, and then talk about coordination activities within the CSG. Prior to that, there will be a CSG XCOM call to discuss the criteria for selecting the single CSG representative to that cross-community working group on accountability. Although there was a very strong effort made, I think Steve will probably go into more details on this. I'll just note that there was a very strong effort made by the participants in the drafting group, David Ferris from the BC, and others to ensure there was one representative per constituency in this particular group. The charter was not approved with that. So that discussion continues about whether it's possible to change that, but in the meantime, in order to participate, we have to reach an agreement within the CSG on who the single participant is. The very good news is there's an unlimited number of participants, and so we will have a lot of opportunity for members to be participants, but in the event of both, or if there is a call for a single spokesperson for a group, then we are limited to one. So that's one thing I just wanted to mention. The CSG is also beginning the planning for the XCOM is beginning the planning for the upcoming meeting in February. I've kicked that off as the CSG representative calling on the other CSG representatives to start asking their members for ideas and topics, et cetera. And we'll be putting together a further CSG XCOM call on that. So we need ideas, and I'll be sending something out to the members to ask for email input. We will be verifying when the breakfast date is. I have a call in to David and others to verify when the date of the breakfast actually is, whether it will stay on Tuesday or it will need to rotate, and we'll need to then adjust the CSG agenda accordingly. One of the discussions so far from us has been interest in having a breakfast perhaps with the board, and I did send out a call for input on that, but I'll send it out again in an organized way through Brenda to ask members to keep sharing their information with us. Singapore is a lot more expensive to travel to than Morocco, so I'm going to ask Brenda to do an early straw poll on members who will be confirming that they're going to be able to participate in person. And when we kick off the list of topics for the CSG sessions, I also ask that you keep in mind we have been discussing the idea of either a BC only or a CSG dialogue with the governments, and there have been a couple of topics suggested, and we'll be continuing to solicit input on whether the CSG XCOM wants to have a full CSG meeting with the GAC. I'm not talking about a breakfast in this case. I'm talking about an actual exchange, or if we want to make this a BC only for some reason because we think we have unique issues. And then I will report later let me just touch on the intersessional planning. Members know that there's an intersessional two-day meeting scheduled for January the 12th and 13th. That is, it mirrors and builds on the initial pilot
which is largely about bringing officers of the House together to sort of talk about management issues. In our case, each constituency has 7 seats. In our case, we will need to be coming up with a criteria for how we fill 3 of those seats. There's discussion going on, but it has not been verified that we might have an additional 2 seats that would be local participants in observer seats. The room is big enough potentially to add in a few extra seats, but they would not be at the tables that are set up with the microphones. They would be additional seats. But that has not been agreed within the planning group. It has been proposed. If that were to happen, then we would have a potential of 9 attendees, but there would not be additional travel for those 2 additional attendees. We'll be circulating the agenda more widely within the BC just to go over topics and make sure that the full membership has an opportunity to comment on the topics that are proposed. The meeting room will have remote access for listening and will also have video in the main room for people to be able to actually watch the proceeding as well. And there is a 1 hour and, I don't know, there's a 110-minute session with FODI for each of the supporting, each of the SGs on Tuesday morning, on the 13th. And that will have audio only because we'll be in a breakout room for the CSG, but all members will be able to listen into that and participate, and it will be transcribed as well. May I take questions?
I think Jay Scott's had his hand up for a very long time.
Thanks. I'm sorry. I'm not able to be in Adobe, so thank you, Elisa, for if you could alert me to that. Thank you, Jay Scott.
Yeah, my question has to do with the representation. You know, I understand and I follow on the list the heroic efforts that David and Gabby made trying to make sure that we got seats for each of the constituencies. And I was a little offended by some of the comments that were made back to them. I think everyone forgets that this governance structure was what we volunteered into as a compromise to see how it would work. And obviously it's not working very well. But those comments, editorial comments aside, I just want to ask you, Marilyn, do you have a feeling that since we sort of went through this with regards to the service on the stewardship committee and the ISPs were so very vocal about how they wanted their representative there, we all conceded that they are going to be gracious and understand that now they've gotten their representation and so it's between the other 2 constituencies to decide?
Oh, you know, Jay Scott, thank you for raising this. So this is the discussion about the process for how we reach agreement on the when we have only a single seat. This has been a problem in all of the cross-community working groups and in the affirmation of commitments and ATRT working groups as well that members will recall. I think we've tried to get past there being this emotional attitude and within the CSG, XCOM, trying to talk about what's best for the CSG, what the criteria is, what the skills are, and then also really fighting to change the number. I will just say, from what I understand, and I don't know if David's on the call, but my personal observation is that it is the NCUC that is actually the most opposed to the expansion of more representation. We also have a problem in that the ICANN staff themselves are opposed to broadening the numbers, although there's really no justification to that when you actually look at the performance of the working groups. But I hear you. We're going to have this discussion. It is going to be probably very tense between the 3
groups. Certainly the last one was fairly tense as well. But I don't think there's ever been an agreement that it's just a rotation. I think we have taken the view as the BC that it needs to be based on, and Elisa should comment also as the CSG alternate, that it needs to be based on the skills and the best interest of the broadest perspective of the SG. But I will just say, I think we have got to fight this battle of changing the number. And to me, that means we've got to go build support for that from some of the other groups.
All right. I think we need to move on to policy. Any other questions for Marilyn that she might be able to answer quickly before we move on? Ron, I see you have your hand raised.
Thank you, Lisa. Marilyn, I just wanted to ask, do you have any sense of why these people are pushing back on not having more people? It just seems to me that the more of us around the table, the more effective we can be. And it doesn't mean everyone has speaking privileges, but it just I don't understand it. Is there any logic you can bring to that? Thank you.
I can tell you what's been said to me, and I do work with these folks at the IGF and other places. There's a perception that the business community, including all of us, are more skilled and more effective than certain other representatives from certain other sectors, and that we have an unfair advantage just from the very beginning because of the expertise and the nature of professional training and professionalism that we bring. So that's one thing I hear. The other thing I hear is that we're more organized and we work ahead of time to develop set positions and consensus positions, and so we have an unfair advantage because of that. And then there's also this perception that always, I'm sorry to say it, but there's always this kind of anti-business attitude that gets put forward from some parts of the NCUC. I'm not saying from the IMPOC, and I'm distinguishing one particular constituency. But, you know, we might consider proposing that there be limited speaking rights as a compromise, but I think it's something we've really got to push forward with and go build some allies with other groups like the CCNSO and maybe the ASO and others.
All right. Steve.
Yeah, on November the 13th, when Council debated the draft charter, Gabby was as forceful as she could be about presenting the idea that we have 7 seats for the GNSO, which would mean enough for the CSG so that we would have 3 reps for the CSG. Merrill is probably right in characterizing the underlying motives for them to block that. But none of those motives surfaced in the discussion. The discussion and the opposition came mainly from Aubrey Doria, who I believe the NCUC would like to limit businesses' participation, as Marilyn described. Her reasons were irrational. She talked about descending into chaos if we were to expand from 5 from each SO to 7, and that's just not even a sensible argument. And then James Bloedel of the Registrars agreed with Aubrey about not wanting to expand it. Then we ran into the chair, Thomas, who's a very rational actor, but didn't love the idea of modifying the drafting team's draft in a council discussion and kept falling back on precedent by claiming that the stewardship group for IANA transition was able to work with 5. So what difference does it make? And then finally, I hope that Susan can shed some light of this in the council report. We got assurances at every turn from the chair, Thomas, that this number we're debating, this number of seats, is only with respect to the voting on a consensus call. In all other discussions, meetings, writing, filing, debates, in every other regard, we can have as many people in that group as we want. And unless there are participation limits, we will be able to be as vocal as we want to be and persuasive as I hope we can be at arguing for strong accountability for ICANN. And again, it's only when we have a consensus call or a vote that the CSG would get just one vote. And it's in those instances we'd have to quickly coordinate with the ISPs and the IPC to be sure that we're voting a consensus of the CSG. But there may not be more than a few instances of voting in the entire cross-community working group. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. We should definitely move on to policy now, but I will just give folks a heads up that we do have two individuals who've expressed interest as possibly being the CSG representative in that CCWG, and I'm going to ask Brenda to send an email to each of you stating your preference for either one or the other of the two individuals who have expressed an interest in serving in that role, so that when we do meet with the CSG, we can put forward a potential candidate. But Steve, let's go on to you. Steve?
Thanks, Elisa. This should be a very brief report on policy. I sent out a policy calendar on Tuesday and then an update to it yesterday. So the update is the one you should have in front of you, if you don't mind. I wanted to thank Andy Abrams, Martin Sutton, David Ferris for their work on comments we filed on NuSTAR's registry proposal. We also filed a disagreement with the board's working group report on the nominating committee, and that's where J. Scott Evans, Ron, Aparna, and Stefan contributed to a great effort. And then finally, we disagreed with the GAC subgroup on geographic names. The drafting on that was led by many in the BC, but primarily by Brian of Amazon, but that is a BC consensus comment. Thanks to all of you for drafting on that. It's been a great team effort. If I turn now to the current public comments that are open, there are only five. There's the Inter Registrar Transfer Policy, Part D. We approved most of these 18 recommendations back in April of 2014, but the board now has to consider whether to take the recommendations up. These reply comments would close on December the 1st, so it's just around the corner. The good news is that Elisa was able to draft the BC position, drawing upon what we've already done on all 18 recommendations, and that is attached to the update that I circulated yesterday. So best case, I will give everybody an opportunity to weigh in with edits over the next 7 days so that we can honor that 1st of December deadline. But I'll take a cue now if there are any BC members that want to comment on the draft that I attached yesterday. Great. Seeing none, thanks again, Elisa, for drafting that, and I will send a reminder to everybody 3 days before December the 1st to see if there's any final comments. The second item, the second, third, fourth, and fifth are fairly new. These are items that that we need to get volunteers from the BC to take a look at. The first is this notion of amending the registry agreement or PIR's application for .NGO and ONG, and these are, I would call them non-English versions of the ORG TLD that they run today. And what they've talked about is bundling of their second-level domains amongst those different TLDs that they'll be running. This is a very short comment period because it's a registry agreement amendment. So it's 26th of November, which is next Wednesday, is the initial comment, and then we have until December the 6th for reply comments. Again, this is second-level domains and the idea of bundling them across TLDs, something the BC had supported back when we were arguing that the guidebook should make it easier for a second-level registrant to register multiple versions of their domain across different TLDs that are linguistic translations, but this is somewhat related to that. Is there any comments, any BC members interested in volunteering to take a look at that and help draft the comment?
Steve, this is Jay Scott. I'll take a look at it.
Jay Scott, fantastic. So this is item two, and to help get things started.
That's due, I need to get something by the end of the weekend so that everyone can look at it right.
You know what, Jay Scott, it's a holiday week for you and as well, and I did want to say that it's December the 6th is the reply comment close date. So if necessary, we have until December the 6th.
Even if it takes me longer, we could put in something on our comments that just says we are looking at it, we're going to make a comment, and just so that we make an initial comment.
So they don't close it.
For the reply.
Right.
That's right.
Okay.
So they don't close it. I'm happy to
do that. Jay Scott, thank you for that. Thank you for that. To help kick it off, I will send you some of the stuff we have filed before on the applicant guidebook in terms of
budget. Not a problem.
Anyone else?
Got it.
Jim Baskin?
Yeah, thanks.
And Angie Graves, thanks.
A question about the the PIR proposal. I'm sure it's in their documented proposal, but just quickly, can you explain what they intend with bundling? Is it going to be required, optional, still with an independent charge per registration? How do they expect it to work? If you could briefly explain that.
Yeah, Jim, I haven't dived deeply into it, and I don't want to misrepresent it. So I haven't.
Jim, I'll send you something on that. You help? I'll look at it.
Yeah, and Jim, would any potential that you'd be interested in helping Jay Scott on some of the drafting?
I don't know that Verizon really has a big stake in that one for that particular pair of TLDs, but I'd be happy to look at whatever drafting you're doing.
Okay. Jim, I would like to say that you wanted to be involved too.
Angie?
Yeah, Angie's here. My comment is about the IRTP topic, and I apologize that I had myself on mute and didn't get to respond. I've been attending those meetings, the IRTP weekly meetings, for almost a year now, or actually the C's before that. If anybody has any high-level questions or wants to know how we came to any particular decision or get some context for the document, I'm happy to provide that. Thanks.
Angie, thank you for that. Can I ask you a favor, please? Would you review that little four-page draft that I attached yesterday from Lisa and see if there's anything in there that you think could be more artfully worded to reflect what you've seen in the year of attending those meetings?
Will do.
Fantastic. And then reply all with that. So it'll get
discussed.
It'd be great for the BC to approve that quickly.
Okay, gladly. Thank you.
Thank you. Next item up is the launch program for a new TLD for Dot Madrid. They want initial comments by the 2nd of December and reply comments not until the 24th. There's time on that. We have not commented on previous launch program proposals for some of the more narrow new GTLDs. I don't suspect there's significant BC interest on this, but just in case, I thought I would ask. Anyone interested in reviewing or drafting BC comments on that?
Steve, it's Marilyn. I don't have an interest in commenting, but I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
And that is, I guess I was surprised to see, I'm assuming that the city names are being put out for public comment because of the relationship to the government. Is that what we should expect for all of the city names?
I don't think we can make any expectations with a launch program of a single TLD for a single city. I don't know how we could extend this across. Remember, Dot Madrid is a city name.
No, sorry. I didn't mean we would make a single comment. That wasn't my question. My question was, do you think we should expect to see all of the city names ultimately put out for public comment? I was just trying to gauge the volume of work that might be coming up.
Oh, I see. Yeah, with respect to launch programs, that all depends on how closely their launch correlates to what they submitted in their application. Some applicants were more explicit on what they thought they would do in a launch program. But I'm curious about why some of these applicants feel it's necessary to get approval on launch programs.
Right.
We may see many more of them. We may see more.
Okay. Thanks.
Great. Susan Kawaguchi. Thanks, Marilyn. Susan? Not hearing you, Susan.
Sorry, I was on mute. And I just saw Stephen's comment. He's working on a comment for Dot Madrid for INTA, but I could also take a look at that and see if there's anything that, you know, we think we should comment on, if you'd like.
No, of course, that would be very valuable. If you could take a look at that. And Steve, would you share your INTA draft with the BC private? Thank you very much.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Perfect.
Great. And then the next one, number four, is ICANN's five-year operating plan draft. Jimson, you're on the line, and typically in the past, it's been our vice chair for finance and administration who would take the lead on assessing and drafting BC comments on things like the operating plan and the budget. I don't want to blindside you on this, Jimson, but you would of course be first in line if you're interested in jumping on that. Before I turn to volunteers on that, I didn't mean to miss your hand being up, Elisa. Why don't you comment? I may have skipped over you for Dot Madrid.
I just said I would also take a look at it. That's all.
Thank you. And that was the Dot Madrid, not the operating plan, correct?
Yes, correct.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. And Steve, yes, I'm on for the operating plan. Here's Jimson.
Thank you, Jimson. Who among BC members has a level of interest and some time to help Jimson diving into their draft five-year operating plan?
Steve, it's Marilyn. I'd like to volunteer, and I don't know if Chris Kepler is on the call, but he has in the past often volunteered.
I don't see Chris's name, but you are absolutely correct. Chris has really carried an awful lot of weight for us in terms of assessing their plans. Kim Chen, I just saw your name pop up in the chat. Kim, were you referring to the Madrid or the five-year operating plan? Strategic plan. Fantastic. So Tim Chen just indicated in the chat he'll help Marilyn and Jimson on that. Tim's the CEO of a business who does its own long-term operating plans, and I think that'll be a great perspective to bring too. Angie as well. Thank you, Angie. This is fantastic. All right, next one, number five, which is the new GTLD auction rules for the indirect contention. I've not even read this proposal yet. I don't know for sure if the BC has any dogs in this fight. It has to do when multiple contenders are there for indirect contention. At that point, there wouldn't be a community applicant left because they would have bypassed the auction rules. Are there any BC that have a keen interest in commenting on the auction rules? I see Ron Andruff hand up. Go ahead, Ron.
Thank you, Steve. Unfortunately, I'm overwhelmed with the other activities I have right now as we're just starting the non-nominated committee processes, and I'm chairing a number of subgroups, but I do believe this is something that we should be looking at because I think, unfortunately, whether we like it or not, whatever happens in this GTLD auction round will become precedent going forward, and it would be very good if we could get a couple of members to put an eyeball to that and see if we can make sure that that's going down the right track. Otherwise, it's going to be very difficult to correct after the fact. Thank you.
Ron, I did want to comment on it. This is largely a mechanical proposal. It's not so much policy as the mechanics of the ascending clock auction by a company called Power Auction. So in some respects, it's a mechanical process more than a policy one. Would you please read, it's a quick read, take a look at it, and if you spot things in there that you believe the BC should comment on, please write, and I'll exercise my role as policy coordinator and try to turn your thoughts into something we could file.
Absolutely. With pleasure.
Great. If there are BC members as well who also are applicants, and if those of you that have participated in auctions, and I know, for instance, that Amazon and Google have, if you're able to take a look at this new auction mechanical plan, and if there are flaws in that plan that undermine business interests, you know, please join Ron at sharing your perspective so the BC can make a comment. All right, see any other hands on that? Great, thank you. Andy Abrams is typing in the chat. Let me give him a chance to finish. Okay, thanks, Andy. Andy's going to also look at that, the mechanics of the auction. Great. Channel 2 is the council discussion. We don't have Gabby on the call. We already covered the discussion of the charter that was approved on November the 13th, and the next council meeting is not until the 11th of December. So, Susan, I know you're on the line. Anything you want to share about the November 13th council meeting or what you're seeing on the list for the 11th of December?
Yeah, one of the things we were asked to do was to go back to each of our constituencies and discuss name collision. And there was a call for to figure out if any policy development is needed or an issue report should be issued by issues report. ICANN staff should do an issue report. So I would love to hear people's perspective. I think we're pretty aligned with the current status of the name collision issue, but any other thoughts on that, or should we take that to the list in the interest of time today?
Thanks, Susan. Again, folks, this is the disposition of the names that come off of the block list. And when the TLD the registry operator decides to put those previously blocked names out, we had a consensus position even with the registries on the need to go through a modified aspect of the rights protection mechanisms at Sunrise. And I do believe you're right that we thought that the consensus position satisfied the BC in the written comment we submitted. So I don't know that we need extra work by staff. I'll take a cue on that. Elisa, your hand up right now? No.
I'm sorry.
No worries. Susan, you do, if you don't have it, I'll send it to you, the BC's prior comment on that consensus position on how to dispose of block list names.
But, right. I don't see it.
Great. Thank you.
I think there was, that was a call from other constituencies to do more staff development on the process. So
what was their rationale? Why did they believe more work was needed?
I think it was more, just as a caveat, it was a call between 3 a.m. and 5 a.m., so wasn't the best attuned to the call. But my impression is that it was more that people didn't understand it, where it's, you know, we live and breathe this issue, so they just called for extra work, in my opinion. So if anybody, I'll review our position again, but if anybody has any ideas on this, or if I see anything on the list, the council list, then I will get back to the BC and to make sure that we have a strong argument in favor of just moving forward.
Thanks, Susan. You have visibility of the council list, and the minute you spot something that we need to know
Councilor
about.
Councilor on the GNSO. I am now chair of the EWC process working group, so I'm taking that role on pretty seriously to see if we can move forward on something with the Who Is record. And I think that's all I have today, Steve. Is there something I'm missing?
Not at all, Susan. Thank you very much. I think we've already covered CSG, so I'll stop there. Thank you, Elisa.
Yeah, I think that Ron wanted to discuss this ALAC set of comments. Can we do that now?
This is Ron. I'm happy to report if you like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Elisa. Thank you for putting this on the agenda. As members of the BC will know, we've been tracking this issue of the highly sensitive strings from the very beginning, and we've submitted comments all along the way. The ALAC have taken some really strong steps forward in this process. They were very strong proponents of the policy advisory board model that had been put forward. I was one of the authors of that document, and that went out for public comment. The result of that was that the new GTLD committee of the ALAC then took the comments under advisement and reviewed all of the issues. And at the meeting in L.A., they stepped forward and passed a resolution calling on the board to freeze the 28 highly regulated, highly sensitive strings until such time as the proper public interest commitments have been established. And they had suggested that a working group of the GAC, ALAC, and other members of the community would be participating. This is very important because if we're trying to build an institution of ICAM and we don't capture or correct these really fatal flaws along the way, it's only going to hurt the institution as we go forward. And for those of us who've been working a long time within the ICANN community, it would be such a shame to see things go sideways because of something we could have done along the way. Staff have taken liberties with the community. They have, the GAC have called for public interest commitments from Beijing, which is about six meetings ago, and every communique since. Staff have gone ahead and had the audacity to sign registry agreements with seven applicants in this highly sensitive string area. The GAC communiques have noted from L.A., noted that the GAC and ALAC exchanged views on the shared serious concerns about the implementation of the public interest commitments, And the GAC raised vital consumer protection issues in Beijing, Singapore, and most recently London communiques, which help establish an environment of trust. This is exact text from the LA communique. Bertrand de la Chapelle, a former board member and a leading voice in internet governance that many of us know, put this into stark relief for me in LA when he said that the operators of these strings will de facto assume a regulatory function at the second level. So I've been pushing on the BC to really take a stand on this, and I'm grateful to see that a number of members have stepped up and supported that call. And what I would suggest we do at this stage is get a letter drafted to the NGPC and to the board to let them know that we support the ALAC resolution, as has been called for by the ALAC chair. He's sent out a message to all of us, which I posted in the last couple of days. So that's a quick summary. I'm happy to answer more questions, but I think the critical nature of this particular issue is that we have to do what's right and get the right thing done here, as much for the institution as for all internet users going forward. Thank you very much, Elisa.
Steve, given our previous position on this, is there a reason why we wouldn't be able to go ahead and support the ALAC resolution?
This is Steve. If I could get in the queue on that. I mean, I circulated this to Ron when it came around. The BC did a written comment approved by members in June of 2013 on the safeguards. And our position was to support, as I indicated in that note that I sent to all of the members. Our position was pretty strong, as we endorsed most, not all, of the GAC safeguards on strings for regulated industries. I think the issue now is the question of timing, of saying that we've already endorsed these things. The board is proceeding to approve contracts without doing them. And Ron, if I could characterize it then, the essence of this letter is to say stop approving contracts until these issues are resolved.
That's it, Stephen. And one step further is to say that there's no reason. There's absolutely zero reason why we cannot stop these 28 strings, because I circulated the list. It's .lotto, .insurance, .versicherung in German, which is insurance in German. These are strings that are really critical, and they're for us to put a hold on them while this gets sorted out, there's no reason why we should not. And I think the NGPC seems to act in the order of expediency. Just get them out the door. Just get them out the door. And we can't. We have to stop, take a breath, get this part right. So it's really about supporting the call to freeze these 28 while this working group then that's with the GAC, ALAC, and I would expect BC members and others from the CSG and the Non-Commercial Parties House would also participate in that working group and just get it right. So I expect that we'll probably take a couple of meetings to do that, but once that gets done, then those things could move forward.
But, Ron, are you looking for a signature on ALAC or looking for a new communication from the BC making the point about stop signing the contracts?
I think both. I think it could be a very short, it's a two-paragraph letter, and it's as you just described. We cited it as the BC in June. We were very clear about that. We now see the ALAC have put it past a resolution. They read it into the public, into the minutes of the public forum in Los Angeles, and we fully support their call, and we call on the board to enact it. It's that short, and I would expect that I've spoken with colleagues in other constituencies and other bodies within ICANN who feel the same way, and I believe they could sign on to such a letter, although I would not suggest we hold ours until everyone signed on. I would suggest we invite people to sign on to a very clear, concise, one-paragraph, two-paragraph letter, and if they can, just as we did in with other things most recently where many, many members of the GNSO bound together to bring a message to the board, we could do so. But it is something we have to act on right now, Steve, and that's the concern. Is the next NGPC meeting will probably happen in early December, and the concern of ALAC is that they will push ALAC back on that and say, we're not doing it. And that's why the board needs to know that others in the community feel the same as ALAC. Thank you.
So, Ron,
you don't believe, though, that we would get the registries, registrars, or the...
Absolutely, absolutely right. The contracted parties have no interest in doing any of this.
Okay.
So given that we're actually at time, can I ask you, Steve, to make a recommendation as our policy coordinator? About how we should proceed, and I know that you're, you know, off-site at a board meeting today, so I know that you wouldn't be able to do this today, but in the next couple of days, can I ask you to help guide us?
Certainly, Elisa.
All right. My apologies, Jimson. I don't think we have time to go through the finance update, but as always, you've prepared an excellent report, and thank you sincerely for all of your work, especially in preparing for the upcoming election. Again, I would encourage everyone to review the list that Jimson sent out to make sure your name is appearing, that you are fully paid up, and that we have the correct email address to send the the ballots to. With that, I want to thank everyone again for joining today's call, and we will speak again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks, all.
Kimberly, you may stop the recording.
Okay.
And the executive committee, we're transferring your lines right at this moment. Please stand by.
Okay.